Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 115.
This week on the podcast, we apprehensively present you with good jobs numbers that we in no way think are real, but hooray.
And isn't it so totally awesome how running a business is exactly like running a government bureaucracy, except like the opposite of that?
McDaniel Cochran is the gift that keeps on giving. This week's gifts include $1,000 in exchange for evidence of voter fraud.
And this week on Hillary Pillory, we've got polling proof that going into public is a major liability with all voting groups, aside from women between the ages of 29 and 30 and non-Walmart weekly shoppers.
This week in stupid White House petitions, if Tim Howard can figure out how to stop ISIS, we're game.
And zombie apocalypse preppers are getting entrepreneurial, and women are super into it.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. And
that's
then
right.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
All the places.
And that really is Lila, I promise.
I know. I have...
If you're thinking maybe that it's some sort of bad
stand-in.
It's not.
It's me. I just am on week two of my dumb sore throat epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, non-ending.
I picked her up this morning, and I was like... Are you going to be able to do this?
It's like been the most epic sore throat in history.
But she, if anyone can power through.
Yeah. If anything.
If anybody can talk their way through a sore throat.
Right. And if anything can keep me, you know, invested in talking, it's a conversation about politics.
Right. Exactly. And that's what we're going to have.
That's what we're going to have. If you hear my cough drop, then you just have to deal with that. And if I start coughing in a disgusting hacking cough, you'll
you have
just
to deal with that too.
You have to deal with that too.
You have to deal with all the things.
There's
that
a lot
come.
Of things that we're asking of you this week.
Yeah. Oh boy, we're going to start with a weird one to start with. Also, slow news week.
Real slow.
By the way.
My God. We're really splitting hairs here to get down to some news.
I know. Because we're leading with the jobs numbers.
That's
which
a bad
we
sign.
Sort of historically have mocked. And we'll
yes.
probably continue to mock here.
Well, I mean.
But we're going to lead with them because they were good.
Yeah, it was.
This time around.
It was sort of an unexpectedly optimistic jobs numbers week, which. Now, that is just as reliable a piece of information as a poor jobs week.
Right, exactly.
We don't know whether these are accurate.
Right, because May's numbers were revised up by 7,000, and April's numbers were adjusted up by like 22,000, which is
yeah.
a lot. So in April, we had
that was
more
some quick
than 300,000,
math you just
did too. Which is good. Thank you.
Brent just did some mental math. We just had the numbers. We didn't do any subtracting beforehand.
Uh-uh. Was I right is the question. I think I was.
I think
yeah,
you're right,
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. So these could, again, be nothing, but we added 288,000.
Yeah.
They were estimating 215. We could have actually only done 215.
Right.
We won't know
these
until
might,
next month when they
these
revise
might be
them
revised
up or down.
To seven.
Right.
It's not clear what direction these will be revised in.
Yeah.
It's being considered a good sign. The unemployment rate dropped to 6.1%, which is the lowest it's been since the crash.
The crash, since before Obama took office. Yeah. It was September.
So that's good news. I guess. The Commerce Department had reported earlier in the week that in the first quarter, the economy had contracted much more sharply than they thought it would. So it was sort of oddly optimistic news to come on the heels of the news that the economy was shitty earlier in the year.
People were also trying to blame that GDP decline in the first quarter, like on the fact that it was winter.
I know. I was like, it's winter every year in the
every
first
year.
Quarter. The
like,
first quarter
that,
is winter time.
Should that come as shocks to people that like
oh, it was snowing, so construction jobs had to dry up? Like,
yeah.
Really? In the winter?
We get it.
That is an interesting time for that to happen. So rare that that doesn't happen in the spring or fall. Like, who are these people trying to kid?
Yeah.
There wasn't really anything exciting to report on the financial side because no one trusts these numbers to indicate anything.
Right.
There has been some report that the quality of these jobs is slowly, very slowly improving. You know, for a long time, we were talking just about numbers, and no one was really talking about the fact that none of these jobs paid money.
Well, right. That's the thing. I mean, we've
they
been
They certainly
adding
are not keeping up with inflation.
No, they're not at all. I mean, we've been adding, you know, a lot of jobs. I mean, not as many as people have wanted over the past 8 years, sort of, since Obama took office. But we've had stagnant wages for a long time.
Long time.
Before he took office.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, it hasn't been stagnant? The price of everything else.
Correct.
So, they're saying now that there was a slight uptick in June, that wages increased about 2% over the past year, or they you know, as of June. That's not as much as inflation has increased.
Yeah.
So, it's not, but it's at least a good sign that people are talking about it, because for a long time, no one was even addressing the fact that these jobs were of such poor quality that they weren't really replacing the jobs that we had lost.
Yeah. Politically, I think, I mean, it's obviously good for whoever's in power. I think this is good for Democrats in the midterms, if they can sort of, if this keeps going, that they can point to whatever it is that they're doing.
They're doing working, nothing,
which
but
is
it's
nothing. But
no one is doing anything, though, so everyone can use it and not use it.
Right, exactly.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Really.
If the Democrats use it, it's not because of anything that they did. And if it, the if it was bad and the Republicans use it, it would be because of what they did.
Exactly.
So
it,
anybody saying anything good or bad about it would be disingenuous.
Exactly. It's all lies.
But regardless.
But good work, everybody.
It would be great to be able to use it.
Exactly.
Is what's important.
Yeah, and when I think, you know, generally these sorts of numbers just end up impacting everyone's impression of the president, and that's good for Democrats.
They do. Yeah, exactly. Especially in midterms, because a lot of times that ends up being sort of
No one knows who they're voting for in the midterms.
Right, exactly.
So, you're not individually voting for specific people.
No.
But
and it would be great sort of, you know, I mean, that unemployment number is just, yes, it's just a number, but it also, like, means things to a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, it's getting close to being under 6%.
Exactly.
Now. Like, I mean, that would be a thing
boon.
That if you could say it would be great. You know, it's just, You want some good talking points, and the Democrats don't have very many right now.
No. No, and Republicans make up talking points, so they always have good talking points, because
right.
their job is not to tell facts to
no,
people.
It's not.
They're not using facts and figures.
And the Democrats do have good talking points. They're just not good at using them.
They're the worst PR people in the world.
Terrible.
It's like, it's a miracle that they have hired, that, like, any person working for the Democrats is currently calling themselves some sort of, like, press or PR specialist. They hire tons of those people.
Of course
And all
they
of
do.
Them are bad.
They would have to be.
Yeah. They're terrible. We also named a new VA secretary. Or Obama appointed a new VA secretary.
Right.
I think he'll probably be approved because he's an asshole, so.
Right. He's a businessman, so he'll have no problem with the Republicans.
Sail through.
And the Democrats will just
have to hold their nose. Yeah.
Vote. Yeah.
He's an ex-Army Ranger, so he's got a military background, but he is the ousted CEO of Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
His name is Robert McDonald,
mm-hmm.
and he has no experience in healthcare.
None.
He has no real experience in government other than having been in the military side of things.
Right, but he went to West Point, but he's been out of the military for 30 years, so it's not even like he's got...
he doesn't have current military experience either.
No, experience.
No one knows how they picked him. It's all been very mysterious. Aides have just sort of been like, well, we were looking for a guy, and then we found him, and then there was it. You know, like, no one knows why he was appointed.
Usually, like he had... Because he has no experience sort of like in either of these or like in the fields that you would think that
a person would need experience
necessary.
To run the VA.
You would think that sort of like, oh, well, he's a friend of Obama's or like he was sort of he's just a general famous person that like would be great to like head that. No, he's just sort of like
he's
some
a guy
random
who supported
CEO.
Mitt Romney in
yeah,
the last presidential
Romney.
Election. So he's a Republican. He's friends with Rob Portman.
Maybe
he's not friends with Boehner, but Boehner had a cryptic comment that basically indicated that he would hold Obama responsible if nothing got done.
Because mm-hmm.
this guy's a businessman, so whatever he's doing is right.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders was sort of like, well, we'll see what happens. Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
Sort of caught people off guard.
Yeah,
I mean Bernie
people...
Sanders, like, I'm... the other people that it caught off guard, and this is a thing that Obama does a lot, that I feel like he could fix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing that he does sort of like when dealing with Republicans. I mean, I know that they're not trying to help him, but I think that he does... things like this a lot, where it's just sort of like, why didn't you just at least tell the veterans groups that you were going to appoint this guy?
Because the veterans groups are pissed off, because he just randomly
he just
appointed
did
this
it.
Guy, didn't
consult
them. And
they're like, who is this? You didn't ask us, you didn't tell us. Not that he needs to ask, but
no.
even literally just like a
but
heads up, so you don't have the veterans groups the next day being like,
who the fuck is this guy?
Who is this guy? Just like, send him a text, for God's sake. Like, anything.
Yeah.
Like,
no, this is, they've been bad at communicating with interest groups. They've been good at insulting interest groups in the meantime. I mean, they're just not great at playing that part of the game, which is unfortunate because...
It's part of it. It's how you... I think it's in large part how you get things done
exactly.
in Washington,
that's,
I think. And
that's
they're not
everything.
Great at it.
They're no, they're not great at that. This guy concerns me because he said, like, when he, you know, when he was accepting the nomination, he said, at the VA, the veteran is our customer and we must all focus... and we must all focus all day, every day on getting them the benefits and the care that they've earned. I understand the sentiment there. Like, you do want to treat veterans. That is your job as a VA. But I really dislike when people act like business people are somehow qualified to run large government bureaucracies because their missions are diametrically opposed. Your mission as a company is you're only finding a service, a need to fill because you want to make money.
You want to make
money.
It's
about
exactly.
profit. So the profit is more important than the customer.
Yeah.
And the customer is only important as an end, you know, as a means to an end, that being profit. When you're running a bureaucracy, the customer is the goal.
Right.
You know, helping the customer is your only goal. You're not there to make money. You're losing money regardless. It's right. You know, inefficiencies have to exist in those systems. I understand the desire to use government funds efficiently, but you can't operate the way that a private business does, right, because inefficiencies have to exist in a bureaucracy because the goal is to serve everybody.
Right.
It can't be like, well, we'll just leave those people out in the cold because it's not efficient to serve them. Like, that can't be a thing that happens with a bureaucracy. Right. That's what's happening now with the VA because they're underfunded, but it's not, but they're not saving money either, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
But, like, you sort of can't come in with the mindset that, like, you know, this with a service mindset in the same way that you would for a business, because the service mindset has to be so totally about the customer in government.
Well, and just, at least to me, that quote, the term customer sort of turns me
off
a little bit.
It's the term customer.
Because, yes, he's right, but, like, also, I mean, they're sick people in hospitals.
Yeah.
Exactly. It feels, I don't know.
Well, and you're not there to make...
It's not compassionate.
You're not there to make money from them.
Right.
They're not paying you for anything.
Yeah.
You're there to serve them only. So they're not a customer.
Yeah.
They're just a person who's... It's your job to serve. It's just... I know, you know, everyone always acts like being some sort of CEO somehow qualifies you to run government more efficiently.
Right. We've seen that it
the entire
doesn't.
Basis of the Republicans' platform,
right,
is that private industry does it better. I can tell you from experience with the 9/11 health bill that that is most certainly not true. But I think anyone can tell you from experience dealing with a subcontracted government service that private industry rarely does it better. And so to emulate private industry when you're running a bureaucracy that is all about state or government control.
Yeah.
You know, the VA is a socialized healthcare system.
Yeah.
If it was being run as such, it would be more efficient.
Right. Because you then know, everybody would...
Socialized healthcare is more efficient the more people you serve.
Of course.
You can't treat it as a cost savings, you know, experiment.
The problem already is that people aren't getting served.
Right. And the problem is that people aren't getting served. It's not that it's not making money.
Right.
You know, like, it's just sort of like... Yeah. So anyway, I have worries about this guy. I have some concerns.
Yeah.
I'm a person with concerns. I'm a person with a sore throat who has concerns.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a person with a sore throat, I'm uniquely positioned to sympathize with what's going on. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Because I could use some, probably.
Yep.
My current healthcare plan involves going to Target and buying like 7 different kinds of cough drops.
Mm-hmm. And Benadryl.
I've been using a lot of Benadryl. I've been sleeping very well, though, as you might imagine. Yeah. I'm not waking up very well, but I am sleeping very well.
Right.
Now, in North Carolina, we have an interesting situation going on.
Yes.
Like in every state in the union, has mm-hmm. been a slew of voter ID laws that have gone in and out of, you know, fashion.
Mostly in.
Recently, yeah. Well, there's like a sort of concerted Republican effort to pass voter ID laws that they think will kind of tamp down on all those black and young voters that are coming in
and trying to vote Democratic,
basically, is what we mean. Anyone that you would imagine could vote Democratic or would likely vote Democratic is a person who might be targeted in a voter ID law.
Yeah.
So, for the first time ever, though, students in North Carolina have joined a challenge to one of their voter ID laws, saying that the law violates the 26th Amendment, because that's the amendment that both lowered the voting age from 21 to 18, but also said that you can't that the right to vote should not be denied or abridged by the United States on account of age.
Yes.
So they're saying that voter ID laws, because most of these laws, and it's true of the law in North Carolina, but also I think of one they passed in Texas and probably some other states, you know, in Texas, you can bring a fucking gun registration as your ID, but you can't use a student ID.
I mean,
in North Carolina, you can use military ID, but you can't use a student ID.
Yeah.
North Carolina has UNC. It's one of the biggest schools in the country. It's one of the best schools in the country.
Yeah.
And so they have smart students there, which is why it's stupid of them to try to pass these laws. So in any case, they've joined a challenge with, I think, like the Civil Liberties Union and NAACP and the Justice Department that is addressing this law from a variety of standpoints. But their argument is that it's in violation of the 26th Amendment. And there's a lot of these laws coming in that do impact students. You know, in Ohio, a lot of it is targeted at college students because they kind of live in an in-between state.
Yes.
They're not always from the state that they're living in.
Right, and they don't necessarily have a permanent address. I mean,
exactly. So in Ohio, they had a law that would have fined colleges or something like that for helping out-of-state students vote locally. Mm-hmm. That died. In Maine, the attorney general there, like, investigated 200 students for voter fraud and then couldn't find any evidence of it.
Right.
So instead, he sent them a threatening letter saying that they had to register their vehicles in Maine or they couldn't vote, which is not legal, by the way.
Yeah.
in Texas, they had a voter ID law, which we talked about a long time, a lot at the time, that was where, you know, if you had, like, any sort of idiotic gun identification, you could go in and vote, but you couldn't use a student ID. So in North Carolina, they have another law that, I mean, they have another situation going on where they're shutting down poll locations near schools as well. So they already were sort of under fire from the students.
Yeah.
But last year they passed this law that we also talked about at the time.
Yep.
And they got rid of early voting and shortened it, or they shortened early voting. They got rid of same day registration.
Same day. Yeah.
But in 2016, they're going to start requiring IDs, and student IDs are not one of the IDs that are required or allowed. And you also can't use an out of state ID, which is also not legal because you can vote anywhere you want as long as you only vote once.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. Well, and that's the thing that they claim that they're trying to, like, have not happen, but there's no evidence that this is happening.
Yeah, basically, a Republican state senator there was talking about this law, and he was like, no, it wasn't to target students. It was to prevent students from submitting absentee ballots in their home state and also voting in North Carolina. That's not a thing. Like, do they have evidence that that's happening? That's a crazy thing to just decide to prevent arbitrarily.
I know. Well, and this
are
is
they
the
all, like, are people passing laws to try to prevent missions to Mars? Like,
I know.
I mean, that's...
Well, that's the thing.
Roughly,
I mean,
as likely.
I remember, because Iowa was trying to get in on this game at one point, and I remember they did a whole big statewide study, and it was a big thing, and the Des Moines Register reported on it and everything, because they were basically, they were fishing for instances of voter fraud, basically to sort of, like, back up the fact that they were going to, you know, ask people to not vote.
Right.
And didn't find any.
No, there's so little voter fraud in the United States that it is... Like, I mean, because the GOP is always trying to make this an issue, but it has always been mind-boggling to me that they're getting away with this.
Yeah.
There was, like, no evidence of voter fraud in any of these places. And this is a crazy thing to just assume that, like, you know, we're not going to assume that people with deadly weapons might shoot each other, but we're definitely going to assume that college students might register in more than one state.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is that there is evidence that there are people that are registered in more than one state. A lot of the time because the state that they moved from doesn't know that they've moved because there's no, because the voter rolls are in terrible shape.
Right.
So there's like 1.8 million dead people on the
voter
rolls.
Well, when you move
so
states, you don't necessarily,
you
go
don't
and you
alert
get
your old state
old
that
state.
You moved.
No, you go and you move and you get your new driver's license at the DMV. And that's usually when you,
exactly.
you know, register to vote. You don't call the, you know,
your old state. Hey guys, by the way.
Right. I'm not voting for you
exactly.
anymore.
Well, they also, anymore, like, in North Carolina, got rid of the thing where you register at 17 and become registered as soon as you turn 18, which they do in a lot of states. It's how I registered to vote, and it's,
oh, yeah, it's
a
how
good
a lot of
way
do,
to get
if you're like
18 year olds to vote. Yeah,
if you're gonna be 18,
if you're gonna be 18
like,
by the time the election happens,
right?
Because then you don't have time to register if they're, you know, curtailing same day registration. What if you turned 18 right before the election? I mean,
right.
That happened to a lot of people that I know. You know, we had a voter registration drive in high school or whatever, and it was because there were all these people that in the month before the election were going to turn 18,
yeah.
and like, you know, wanted to be able to vote.
But
so there, what a lot of this has uncovered is that the voter rolls are in terrible shape, and somehow that's getting blamed on people instead of getting blamed on the agencies responsible for keeping those, because being registered in two states is not the same thing as voting in two states, and they are failing to make that distinction.
Right.
If you because I
you can
I'm
be registered
sure
in
was,
all 50 states.
I'm
as long
sure
as you're only voting
that I
in
was
one,
registered in two states for a while when I changed my registration to California. Because how did New York know that I wasn't registered there anymore?
Right. I didn't.
They didn't know.
I didn't cancel my.
You can't cancel
Iowa
your voter registration. No.
Voter registration.
No.
And
you're
I don't know whether I'm still registered there.
Among
or not, but
the
2.7
million.
To vote there.
No. Exactly.
Like,
you like once you've decided to vote one place, then you just don't vote in the other place. People, the voter fraud is just not happening. I don't know why they're so caught up on this. But what is happening is that in North Carolina, voter turnout among young people is huge. Because
right.
they have this good school there.
Right, exactly.
So
it was one of the highest in the country.
It's one of the highest in the country. 57% of the young, of the, you know, 18 to 21-year-old or whatever.
We got to stamp that out.
Yeah. So that's, it's like so clear that this is targeting those groups.
But they all are.
And,
yeah.
you know. Probably minorities. It's probably hard to get an ID. It's probably expensive in North Carolina. There's probably, you know, like, there's probably obstacles beyond that. But
oh, I'm sure.
In any case, it's interesting to me that students are getting in on the mix because students, unlike African Americans and old people, or I mean, well, not unlike old people, but they come in a variety of races and
yes,
genders.
Right.
And, like, students are future just regular adults. So if you're just pissing off random students, you're accidentally pissing off white men, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
no, you are.
The worst thing you could do as a Republican.
Right.
Because that's all you got.
Yep.
You just you want to be careful. In any case.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This Thad Cochran, Chris McDaniel.
Just keeps giving.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
It was a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And
it's not over yet.
Brought you the results last week and figured that we probably wouldn't have to talk about it again.
Wrong.
Or get to talk about it again.
Right.
As the case may be, which that is
the case. This is a treat. This is a real treat.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Which is great. So, Cochran won, as we talked about last week, by, you know, sort of
a fairly definitive margin.
Right. A definitive margin that was due in large part to a sort of final push by his campaign to get African Americans to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that has obviously pissed everyone off, which we talked about last week, and it led to a very uncomfortable and awkward conference call that his campaign held earlier this week.
So they were doing this conference call because reporters from out of, you know, not all the reporters had been at his victory speech or whatever. They were just wanting to lord their victory over everyone. So they did a reporter conference call.
Yeah.
I think for national press and things like that.
Yeah.
That was on Wednesday. Before the conference call, a conservative blogger named Charles Johnson tweeted the call-in info and asked people to crash the call. We'll talk more about him in a second. But so some guy gets on the call. Some rando gets on the call. And starts interrupting Cochran's aide, Austin Barber, asking if Cochran was, quote, harvesting black votes like black people harvesting cotton. Repeatedly.
Yikes.
And just, like, all over the damn place, talking.
Yeah.
Just talking up, talking up a storm. So they had to end the call early. They just had to get off the call.
God.
And so on Tuesday, Charles Johnson, this blogger, had published a story alleging that this campaign, that the campaign paid for votes in black communities, which is a thing that conservative bloggers are saying.
Yep.
And McDaniel has taken up the charge.
Yes. Meanwhile, we should also tell you that McDaniel has not conceded in this race.
Oh, yeah. No, McDaniel's still in it to win it.
Yeah.
He's promised his voters that he, quote, won't go down without a fight.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And he is not going down without a fight. He's going down with a sort of pathetic fight.
It's
but
crazy
it's
fight.
A fight anyway. So he lost by 6,800 votes. He's insisting that voter fraud is responsible because voter fraud, as we know, is one of the biggest scourges to hit the American public in centuries.
So because of the fact that people are saying that there was voter fraud, he's now offering $1,000 to anybody who can provide evidence of misdoings.
Yes. He's offering a lame reward for evidence. But his website says, Senator Thad Cochran's campaign allegedly paid $15 per vote to steal the June 24th Republican primary election. Alleged by who? That's such an oddly specific number.
I know.
$15 a vote? Where did they get that number from?
I know,
That's crazy. Is that just a rumor people are telling?
Like, probably.
I mean, and like, they make it sound like it's alleged by a legitimate source. It couldn't possibly be, because it's alleged by their brains. Like, that's not a thing. So if you have evidence that leads to the arrest and conviction of anyone involved in voter fraud on or leading up to June 24th, 2014, please email it.
Right. I wonder if they've gotten any emails.
I know. Probably tons of emails.
Probably tons.
Of crazies suspecting that their black neighbors are somehow, just by voting, were like somehow committing voter fraud.
Right.
These are people that think that by voting, black people are committing voter fraud.
Right. Exactly. Well, and it's on his website, so only the crazy people, at least initially, were aware that...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Those crazy people include Sarah Palin, by the way, who has joined this charge.
Oh, well, obviously.
She loves a good plan like this. But so he may never concede. I don't know what happens if you just, like, never concede. Like, he's definitively not the winner.
I know,
so,
exactly.
Like, what
it doesn't matter. He cannot concede until the end of time.
Yeah,
I would assume it's not going to matter.
I mean,
at a certain point, Cochran is going to be back in the United States Senate. And at that point,
whether
you've conceded or not.
Right, you've lost.
Right, it's over.
But this is just such a bizarre...
It's so good.
...story. And this is the same campaign where the guy committed suicide last week.
Yeah.
Like, a lot is going on with them still. They're still a very busy campaign. I wonder if they're still able to fundraise off of all of this.
I know.
Probably.
I wonder if he'll run.
Oh.
That could be interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Right? As an independent
or
third party? Or
yes.
Like, maybe this is the first time that
the first showdown
party
of a
runs as a third party.
Well, and that could be problematic because I would suspect that Thad Cochran is not going to get black voters to vote in the general.
Not at that
for
point.
Him.
That is an election that potentially a Democrat could win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because also... he went back on the sort of implication that he was, that he was providing black voters with, that he was going to somehow support the Voting Rights Act stuff.
Yeah, he got their votes, and then he's not.
And then
doing
he's not doing anything with them.
Right.
So this
they're
could
not
go.
Happy.
This could go in a lot of exciting directions.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on it for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Update from last week, because we sort of talked about what was it, the UNLV Student Union?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Hillary Pillory.
Hillary Pillory. Well, as Brent just said, that was the least graceful intro to Hillary Pillory, but we're here now. We made it.
Yeah, we did it. So, we talked last week about the UNLV students being mad that Hillary Clinton is, you know, charging them like $250,000 for to come speak at the school, basically.
Right.
So, and she said, she was like, I give all my speaking fees back. We speculated last week that they were probably all going to the Clinton Foundation.
Lo and behold,
we're up. Both Hillary stories this week are about us being geniuses, by the way. So
you can just get ready for that.
Hold on to your seats, everybody. That's exactly what they're doing. Going to the Chelsea, Hillary, and Bill Clinton Foundation, whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. The foundation that pays her.
That employs her.
Yeah, that's, exactly. So she's still donating them to herself.
It is a nonprofit. So, I mean.
Sure.
Sure.
Uh-huh. It's a nonprofit that brings in between $750 million and $1.7 billion over the last few years.
So it's one of those numbers is twice as big as the other number,
it's a pretty substantial.
So I don't know who's guesstimating these numbers.
Well, no, these are the numbers. It's collected
per year
between $750 million and $1.7 billion. Yeah,
that's
a lot of fucking money.
It is a lot.
And a lot of clout.
Yeah,
along with that money.
Yeah.
So she's not losing.
No.
As poor as they were when they left the White House, things have really improved markedly. Yeah,
exactly. So that is the first part of the thing we were right about is that we knew that that's where that money was going.
We wanted you to know that we were right about that.
So that's where that
we love being right.
Right. So the other thing is that, and you and I have been saying this for years.
Yeah.
In fact, we said it
literal
in
years.
Our...
Literal years.
Years. Because we said it in our The Case Against Hillary story.
Yeah.
Because we said what is going to happen is that everybody's going to love her as Secretary of State because she doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
Not that she's not doing anything. She's not doing anything politicized.
She's
not doing anything politicized. She doesn't have to sort of like go out there and talk. She doesn't have to say what she thinks about things. She doesn't have to think about things.
She just gets to help the president think about things.
Right. So... Anyway, now that she is out thinking about things, as we said, her poll numbers are
plummeted.
They're in
the shit. As soon as she was a person, an independent person
who
that people remembered.
Could have her own thoughts in public.
Yeah. Suddenly everyone was like, oh, wait, we didn't like her.
No, we didn't.
We never wanted her to be president.
Right. But now, so now we know. Yeah, because she had these are Zogby polling numbers, too. These aren't just some sort of made-up numbers. This is since the book tour.
So this is since her, like... re-entrance into public life.
Right, I think that this poll was taken in late June. So, like, within the last couple weeks, basically. Since her whole situation with how broke she was, basically. Her leads over Jeb Bush and Rand Paul are, like, drastically shrinking.
Yeah.
And she has lost, she's lost support with basically all humans.
Right.
Here's the specific list.
The
list is pretty good. It's 18 to 29-year-olds, 30 to 49-year-olds, men... Independents, Catholics, Hispanics, voters in union households, single voters, social networkers, and weekly Walmart shoppers, which is mysteriously a polling. That's a new constituency for
that's
people.
That's probably
I guess,
a very
basically.
Telling constituency.
But that has to that covers
that's gotta
all.
Be everybody.
The only group that Lyle and I could not think of was specifically women. Although women are
between
18
and
49 years old.
Yeah.
So if it's shrinking generally in those age groups, there are women.
We
in
We wondered
age
if there was a group between 29 and 30 that they're referring to that it's just like skyrocketed support.
Right.
Just 29 and a half year olds are like really
people between their 29th and 30th birthdays.
Just like
crushing it.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
The only other groups that I could think of that this could possibly not include would be groups that have no real, like, significance. Like,
they didn't
list Jews, but, like, that makes up less than 2% of the population,
doesn't it? I mean, maybe seniors?
Like, seniors, but voters in union households, single voters, like, independents,
Catholics,
Hispanics, men. Like, that, there's got to be old people thrown in there at some...
Right. There's old Catholics, there's old Hispanics, there's old men, there's old independents.
And then, like, social networkers, like... That includes all young women.
Right.
So, like, nobody.
I guess
nobody.
If her support with social networkers is going down, does that mean that I'm going to have to look at less Ready for Hillary things popping up in my Facebook news feed?
I bet you're going to have to look at more.
Oh, right.
They're going to have to remind us that we're ready for Hillary. People have forgotten, apparently, that we're ready for Hillary, thankfully. But now we're going to have to be remembering that. God. It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare of Ready for Hillary nonsense. P.S. This is a good point. At which I wanted to talk about this last week, but I want to talk about it again this week because it hasn't stopped.
Great.
What the fuck is going on with the Democratic fundraising emails?
Oh my God.
They've gotten way out of control.
Well, it was ever since that. I mean, they're always out of control.
Right.
I'm assuming the Republicans are doing the same thing.
Yes, sure.
But ever since the Hobby Lobby case.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's like the world is ending, which, yeah, I'll give them that was pretty terrible.
Right.
But
I don't
like every 5 minutes.
Fucking
that day,
literally
always
every 5 minutes.
Like,
They're really dire emergency.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll resend emergency. Like, yeah, as if they're responding once. to the emergency email with another fundraising email.
Yeah.
It's enough to make your head explode.
Ugh.
And it's like terrible. Names of famous people, non-famous people, random people, like, mm-hmm. you know, random citizens. Like, it feels to me
yeah.
like every person in America is sending me a fundraising email right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be fundraised.
No. I'll give money when I'm ready. I always do.
I never do, and I don't feel bad about it.
Fair enough.
You know?
I'm not judging you for it.
No.
I usually do. And that's how I get... I thought that's how I got on all of these email chains, but no, apparently not.
It's not. You don't have to give money to them to get on these email chains. They find you. It's like how I was on every Wendy Davis email for, like, months, and finally I had to unsubscribe from, like, a million lists, because I was like, I don't live in Texas. Like, I get that, like, I probably once signed a fucking petition somewhere or something.
Yeah, for her, probably, for even, her. Too. Like, go Wendy. You did a bang-up filibuster.
Exactly.
You probably good did work something.
Or, like posted on Facebook with her name or something, but, like... Lay off the fundraising emails. I'm not going to donate to the fucking gubernatorial race in Texas.
No,
I live in a state that's
also,
not Texas.
Bless your heart, Wendy. That's a sinking ship.
Exactly.
You're on over there. No, you're doing the Lord's work.
You're preparing for a future career in something that might be running for office.
That is not the governor of Texas.
That it's not being the governor of Texas in 2014.
No.
Like, sorry about it.
Yeah.
But, like, stop sending me
we
so many fucking emails.
But I'm not... Certainly, if I was going to give to anybody out of state, she's the last person, and I say that with love.
You know, I unsubscribed from MoveOn's list years ago and did not successfully get off their list at any point. Because there was a point where I was like, I've got to get off, like, I was getting so many MoveOn emails that I was like, you know what? I read the news. I don't need them to send me information that's asking for money every 10 seconds.
Yep.
So I unsubscribed from their list. I unsubscribed from, like, you know... one of the congressional campaign lists. I unsubscribed from, like, all the lists I could find.
Yeah.
Didn't end up off all of them for more than, like, 2 months. They found me again so fast. I don't know how they found me.
Yep.
I wasn't, like, donating money anywhere.
Perhaps through the NSA. We'll get to that story later.
Maybe, yeah. Seriously.
But first more important we have news more important than the news NSA. Than
that news is that Rick Perry is turning into a West Coast metrosexual.
Mm.
The worst kind of person to turn into.
Says someone who doesn't know what a West Coast metrosexual is, obviously. Because the only reason that he's turning into a West Coast metrosexual is that he's dropped the cowboy boots for health reasons.
Yeah.
Because he has back
problems. He had back surgery in 2011.
Yeah.
So he's not wearing cowboy boots anymore because they have a heel, and it's bad for his back.
Yeah.
So the Texas Land Commissioner, Jerry Patterson, a Republican, not surprisingly.
Not pleased.
Not happy. He was talking to Austin American Statesman's Ken Herman, who was writing an article about boots or something, and said, quote, "Tell Rick that boots can be purchased with normal heels. I lament the fact that our governor could now pass for a West Coast metrosexual and has embarrassed us all with his sartorial change of direction." If you're using the term sartorial change of direction and you're lambasting someone for being a West Coast metrosexual, you are in a confusing middle ground that I can't even address.
It's funny, too, because actually the article... This is a Washington Post article, and when you click on the link, the picture that they use is, like, Rick Perry in, like, a very sort of, like, dapper-looking suit, like getting out of a Tesla in someplace in California.
Like, Silicon Valley or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's, like, they at least sort of found something to make it seem like maybe this was actually a thing. But, like, when you think of metrosexual, you don't think of Rick Perry.
Certainly not. You do not. No.
Also, metrosexual is not the thing anymore.
No.
Remember?
This shows how out of date...
Did we talk about that? On the podcast?
No, I don't think we did.
The guy who introduced the word metrosexual has introduced a new word.
Yeah.
It's called spornosexual.
Which is much grosser sounding.
Much grosser sounding. I don't think that it's going to catch on.
No.
But it's sort of like how men take their cues from, like, athletes and sports.
And then porn.
Basically. And, like, it's all sort of, like, about, like, this selfie culture and sort of, like, everyone really, like, you know, trying to, like... quaff themselves like David Beckham and stuff, and like really sort of like, so it's like the next, we've moved past metrosexual now. So maybe Rick Perry is metrosexual.
Yeah,
since there's something newer
and
better.
Yeah.
He's out of debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of touch, Rick Perry.
What a surprise. So, in any case, that was a tragic Texan story of failure. There was a tragic American story of failure.
Oh, there was.
Because we're not in the World Cup anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, we knew this was going to happen. Right. You and I declared, I think I said that... It's not who Americans are to win the World Cup.
No, we're just not those people.
Yeah, that's not who we are, and we're not going to because we lost.
If there was an American Football World Cup, we would win that one.
That's right.
Every year.
Yeah, there is. It's called the MLS. Nobody cares about it.
It's the MLS?
Yeah, Major League Soccer.
Oh, no, I mean like American football.
I know. Oh, yeah. America. I thought you were talking about like, if Americans only played themselves. That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the American Soccer League, and I'm also not trying to be a person who refers to soccer as football like a douchebag. I'm talking about American football, the dumb sport that only we play that Brent loves.
Right, got it. Okay.
A sport that no one else plays, so we would definitely win every year.
Kill that. Yeah.
If there was a World Baseball Championship that, because the World Series.
I think they have that, but it's like a sham, sort of.
Well, the only countries that play baseball are Japan, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and the U.S.
Latin American countries. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we lost 2-1. It was actually a good game.
So I hear.
It went into overtime. It was 0-0, and then all the scoring happened in overtime, but we got down 2-1, so everybody was sort of like, oh, it's over. And then we scored and had, like, another opportunity to score, and it looked like we might retie it again, and then it just didn't happen. Apart. But anyway, so we can all stop caring about soccer now. Somebody asked me, like, somebody asked me the other day if I was watching the World Cup, and I was like, what? I was obsessing over the World Cup, but, like, what? Am I trying to watch Germany and Argentina or whoever?
You are not.
Like, no, of course that's not a thing.
No.
Anyway, so the hero of the game was the goalkeeper, Tim Howard, because the American defense was not very great, or we weren't going on offensive enough. I don't know exactly. I don't know enough about
soccer. The soccer thing was happening.
What was happening was
people were shooting balls.
Belgium was having a shot on goal every 30 seconds, it seemed like, to the point that it was like I was in sheer panic the entire game. But we really, we lost 2-1. We should have lost about 13-1 is what should have happened. Actually, 13-0 because we scored in overtime. And if it was 13-0, there would not have been overtime. Right. Regardless, Tim Howard set the record for the most saves in a game in the World Cup. 16. That's a lot of shots on goal.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was hearing on some SportsCenter or something the other day that, like, one of these teams, like, had, like, 4 or 5 shots on goal. Like, 16 is a lot of shots to be kicking at the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he did awesome, but, of course, because he did so awesome, like we do...
We had to start a meme,
and it was things Tim Howard can save, and it was actually, you know, clever-ish. Right. It was pictures of Tim Howard in his, you know, goalkeeper costume,
like,
holding up the Titanic,
like,
and
blocking
holding
a
up,
fireball.
Right, a fireball, and, like, holding up Simba as if he'd, you know, saved Simba, and, Bambi, too,
yes.
I think there was, you know, things like that, so whatever, haha.
Yeah.
But anyway, they also started a petition with the White House, like everybody does when something ridiculous happens. Like when you want to get Justin Bieber kicked out of the country or whatever, you start a petition so the president has to comment on it. So that Tim Howard be the Secretary of Defense. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, so Chuck Hagel had to call him and congratulate him, and then Obama actually talked about it this week, too, and he was like, well, that job's already taken by Chuck Hagel, but if there's ever a vacancy, I'll think about it. Like,
stop yourself. Don't tell dumb presidential jokes.
Nope.
It's like...
Don't do it.
So exhausting.
But we can go back to not caring about soccer.
Thank God. I was really stressed about this. People were watching a lot of soccer at work.
They mounted a TV at my office, specifically for World Cup watching.
Used
tools to mount a television in plain view. Like,
bonkers town.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
And I was in there. Watched the whole thing there.
Yep, I bet you did. meanwhile, we have, I think, a while ago, talked about Mary Landrieu's challenger. Just mentioned casually that she had one.
Right.
Who is a congressman, Bill Cassidy.
Right.
Who is a doctor, and he, you know, I think he's...
She's
been there
US
for three terms.
House.
He's in the House, so, you know, they're just like...
And we should preface the story that we are no fans of Mary Landrieu.
We are not.
By the way. I would vote for her down there just because the
what
Senate is
do?
Sort of hanging in the balance. And yes, exactly. Like, what else are you supposed to do? But, I mean, screw her, generally. But anyway, well...
She's terrible on anything environmental that makes you
exactly.
want to think she would need to be...
Anybody from Louisiana is going to be terrible about the environment, which is annoying, but just the reality that we face. Anyway... So this guy that she's running against, Bill Cassidy, classic Republican move here, had to issue a statement this week that his unwed teenage daughter is pregnant. Mm.
Classic.
Classic.
Classic move.
You know what would have been helpful in this situation?
I bet I do.
Tell me.
Birth control.
That's it. I was going to let you say it since you're the woman on the podcast.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what would have been helpful.
Birth control. Bet she wasn't on that. Well, she wasn't, obviously.
No, she definitely was not on birth control.
No.
That's one thing we know.
Right.
Science tells us that.
Probably too afraid to ask her parents to go to the doctor and get
and
on something.
Probably in Louisiana.
Probably limited access.
You can't get it anywhere.
Right.
Certainly can't get an abortion there.
Right. Probably not handing out condoms at school.
Definitely not. Certainly not handing them out, like, in...
Probably not teaching you
public
that
transportation.
She might not have even known that you get pregnant from having sex.
No.
Growing up in
probably
Louisiana.
Probably thought storks brought babies to people. Yeah.
She might have been surprised to find out that she was pregnant after having sex.
Yeah. She thought she was having a good time.
She was.
So true.
Well, or not. Who knows?
We don't know. We don't know how that went.
No.
But in any case, back to the NSA.
Yes.
Which we haven't talked about in a while.
No.
That wasn't a, you know.
There were new revelations.
That was a change of direction.
Right.
That I
it was. That's fine. Yeah. Whatever. New revelations this week.
Non-shocking revelations.
Not at all. But they're terrible revelations. Yeah. But they should not come as any surprise to you. If you had to guess whether it was just normal Joe Blow America getting mostly searched by the NSA, or people who we should actually be searching, what would you guess? If you guessed people we should actually be targeting, like terrorists or someone like that, or people related to, you would be wrong. Because
they don't make up most of the people that we are searching and hoarding information about.
90% are people who have nothing to do with anything.
No, just people. Just on the internet.
Just you and I.
Just rando people.
Yep, that's it.
And this is something that...
And 50% of them are Americans, which we should say, because like the NSA is
obviously...
They were
saying that they were only going to be targeting people that were like dealing with foreign entities or something... That's not it's just like rando American people whose data is all being stored by the NSA and searched.
Yeah.
And of course, they're getting helpful information from doing these wide net searches.
Right, well, you would, because you're searching everyone. That's why it's never going to go away. That's why they don't want it to go away, and they're being super secretive about it, is because it's working, which I suppose is great, but like also, I mean... Do we have no right to privacy any longer?
No, exactly.
That's obviously the larger debate here. But, I mean, they have gotten some good...
Well, and we did just rule that, like, the contents of your cell phone do give you... You know, that you are granted a certain amount of privacy to your digital identity.
Right.
So I'm curious to see how that ends up affecting the conversation on this.
That's very true.
This is
like, just
sort
because
of
the cell phone is sort of a physical
entity. The information
thing
on the cell phone exists in the cloud. It doesn't exist on your cell phone.
Right, exactly.
Like, do they have the right to search the cloud for that information, but not your cell phone?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they've gotten some... They apparently... well, the Washington Post, like, didn't go into specifics because, like, they sort of, like, didn't want to say all of the things that we'd gotten specifically because they're the ones who sort of, like, have this big sort of, you know, dump of documents or whatever. But we apparently got, like, some good revelations about overseas nuclear projects, double dealing by an ostensible ally.
Ooh.
That sounds thrilling. You could write some crime novels about this. A military calamity that befell an unfriendly power.
Drama.
Oh my God, what is that? The identities of aggressive U.S. intruders and into U.S. computer networks. And it also led directly to some captures of like some bad people, like some Pakistani.
They've long names, so we're not going
to
try to say them.
Like a Pakistani bomber who was trying to kill a bunch of people, and like one of the suspects in a terror bombing in Bali in 2002. So it's like, yeah, I mean, they want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But
there's also, like, letters about people having affairs.
I know, they
like
have
heartbreak,
so,
and, like, people talking to their parents, and, you know, like, mental health crises.
Yeah, a lot of them are, like, very voyeuristic.
Yeah. Like, religious and political conversations, people being worried about money.
Yeah.
Like, people with disappointed hopes.
Well, that's, those are people.
Those are the kinds of emails normal people send.
Right.
So, when you're just, you know, having, randomly searching 10,000 people's email accounts without any aim or goal.
Yeah.
It's really mostly voyeurism at that point.
That's it.
Sounds sort of fascinating. I feel like I would really enjoy...
Yeah?
I was reading this book about... it's like a kind of... Just like a dumb novel that I'm reading. About a guy whose job it is... He's like an internet security officer at some company, and so his job is to read everyone's emails and then red flag them if they're talking about personal stuff. But instead, he's just sort of like... gets invested in this, like, you know, breakup that's going on with one of the people who's, like, emailing her friend about it all day. And so, like, and then he starts to kind of, like, try to find her. He's sort of curious what she looks like. It suddenly, suddenly he, like, becomes heavily invested and involved in the story because he can't help himself. Because it's fascinating to read other people's emails.
That's funny. Oh, God. Final news. Already. We're there.
What a shock.
Oh, my God. This story is just too fantastic for words.
It's got... everything a story should have.
Yeah.
Zombies, guns.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Idiots.
And idiots. The trifecta. Yeah. Anyway, so there's this new, like, so what is happening right now is that gun companies and gun enthusiasts are trying to get new shooters out
there.
New business, new murderers out there by using zombies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you heard that right. Mm-hmm. They're offering zombie classes. They're telling you how to make it through the apocalypse. They're doing all sorts of things.
Just proving that they, like, most of where I assume this is happening in America, are hopelessly out of date when it comes to trends. Zombies
exactly.
are over, people.
Right, exactly.
We're over it.
They might as well be using vampires.
Exactly.
Because those are more over.
Exactly.
But basically what they're doing is, I mean, it's, I guess, yes, you're right. They're a little late to the party here. But, I mean, on some level, it's
sort
smart.
Of genius.
And they're claiming that it's working, too. Because what they're doing is they're marketing, basically, at, you know, younger people who might want to have guns. Because they are sort of, like, into the zombie mm-hmm. you know, video games. They're into The Walking Dead. They're into World War Z.
Not surprising to me, because I went to a wedding last month for a good friend of mine, where there was like a 1 hour conversation about what everyone's plans were in the event of a zombie apocalypse. And was like, you guys have thought this through?
Oh yeah.
I don't have any plans when it comes to zombie apocalypse.
Oh, the doomsday preppers like are preparing for this to be like an actual thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're also part of this crowd here.
But I mean, this was just a bunch of random people at a wedding in Malibu. It wasn't like
right.
It wasn't doomsday preppers that were prepared.
Right. But they're also marketing it towards women, because the reason that this is working is because when you go shooting, if you're not actually shooting something real, if you're not hunting, if you're only going to shoot guns, you're usually shooting at targets of what you would be hunting, mm-hmm. which would be an animal, or you're shooting at a target of an actual person, which is sort of creepy.
Morbid.
So women don't oftentimes want to shoot either of those things, people or animals.
Right.
But everybody can sort of like generally agree
get behind shooting
that
zombies.
If you were faced with a zombie, you would want to shoot the zombie.
Yeah.
Like, no one is going to be like, oh, I'm scared to shoot the... No, you shoot the...
Right.
I would shoot a zombie if that came to that. It's not going to, because zombies aren't a thing.
Right.
But, which is if what makes the whole thing ridiculous.
Well, that's also what makes it possible for you to feel that way.
Well,
if
right.
zombies were real, you would probably find a reason to feel sympathetic towards zombies, because they would probably be complicated just like everyone else.
Right.
Just like bears.
It's not their fault.
Bears are complicated.
Right.
I'm convinced bears are out to kill humans, and I don't
right.
like bears, but I wouldn't want to shoot a bear personally, because I feel like bears have inner lives. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, would it be my right to take a bear's life away? No. And I'd probably feel the same way about zombies if they were real. It's real
yeah.
easy to feel like they'd be fine to kill, because they're not a thing.
Yeah. But yeah, they're like in Virginia, they're teaching this class. It's a firearms training company, and it's like Zombie Survival 101, Surviving the Horde. There's also,
P.S. don't be paying money to go to a zombie training class.
Don't do that.
Don't give away dollars in exchange for that. That's not a service that they're providing to you.
And there's also, the women, which we mentioned, there's a gun club in Northern Virginia. It's happening a lot in Virginia, apparently.
Yeah,
the pistol-packing ladies are also preparing for the zombie apocalypse. They have a monthly zombie target night, which everybody really loves. They say, the woman who runs it says, it's challenging, and it gets ladies to focus on fundamentals. And it's just fun, too.
Mm.
Yes.
Good old fun.
But the other thing that's hilarious, though, is they're really, like, making things up as if this could be a real thing. Like, we don't know what zombies would even
right.
be, but like, they're teaching people about, like, if a
zombie
comes
anatomy?
Like, the best shot to kill a zombie is through the nose, because you have to take out their brain, because their brains have changed. Like, they're making things up about, as you know, as if zombies are real. And like
the
what
way,
the
like
best
if you were
way
teaching
to kill
a vampire
them is
class, and you'd be like, well, you need a wooden stake, because vampires definitely, you know, like
yeah.
here's a definitive answer about vampire anatomy that would allow you to know exactly how to kill a vampire. Like,
yeah.
Zombies, because they have these specific qualities that we can identify,
uh-huh.
need to be shot right through the nose, because that's the only way to kill this fictional being that we've made up.
Exactly. So good.
Oh my god.
Well, they're smart, if nothing else, I
yeah,
guess.
It's entrepreneurial.
It's stupid. It's, yeah.
They're stupid smart.
Entrepreneurial. That's
they're entrepreneurial.
Let's not call them
smart. Sounds like that's an exaggeration.
It. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any case, that's the news this week.
That's
There's
it.
Not
we
much
did
of
it.
It.
Lila made it.
I made it. You might have heard my cough drop for the last 15 minutes. Not sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. We will be back next week.
Yeah. Happy 4th of July, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Happy 4th of July. We hope your fireworks were fun.
Yes.
Ours were fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we also hope that you didn't get too drunk and then do something stupid.
Right.
Because it seems like that was what a lot of people were doing.
Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah.
So, in any case, we'll see you next week. Then it will be real summertime.
That's right.
So, hopefully, there'll be no news next week, and we can talk more about zombies. bye.
Bye.